The sermon this morning comes from Luke chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. Luke chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him. And they came and tried to keep him from going away from them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." So he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Pray with me. Father, as we look and see the righteous footsteps of Jesus Christ, may we see these as the example that these footsteps you have made into a way, as you have declared in your word. So God, may we see Jesus Christ. May we love him, and may we learn to follow him more perfectly and beautifully today. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We look at our lives and we look at the world, and none of us can deny the shadows in this world and the darkness in which we walk. We look, and if we're honest, we see the darkness and the shadows within our own hearts. We have seen the darkness and the shadows within our loved ones. And even those who have been supposed to love us and to care for us, we've seen the darkness and we've seen the shadows in them. For some of us, the shock came at the point when we were saved and we looked around and we started seeing other people's lives not lining up with what we see in Scripture. And there's this surprise that many of the people around us are not saved. They are not Christian. They are not walking with the Lord. Some of us, and I've heard the testimonies of some of our young people, the big shock came for them in their teenage years when they looked around and started understanding things more and getting a better perception, and they were able to look at their parents and realize, my parents aren't perfect. And we could even take it a step further and honestly say, my parents are sinners. It is a reality of our lives. Some people, the shock comes when they move forward or they get elected to an office, maybe within the church, and they look around and they start seeing the scary underbelly of the place and seeing that, wow, these people are actually worse than I thought. Some of us, it comes when we stumble badly and slip into sin ourselves. And we look and we say, wow, I am much worse than I thought I was. Each of us in our lives, we come into these shadowy places. Each of us in our lives, we come upon these hard times. And it is in these times and in these darkest shadows that Christ shines the most brightly. When we see our actual need for him, the reality of him. We look and we see in these passages some of the footsteps of Christ and the ways that he walked and the ways that he lived. We see his key purpose, or one of his key purposes in his ministry, was to proclaim the gospel, because there is no other hope for mankind. There is no other hope for this mankind who is the image of God that he has created. And it is in our lives when we see this great need and when we actually want him, when we actually want him, that it is in our weakness that he is demonstrated to be strong. When we see the people around us and we understand that these people actually cannot meet my need, that it is Christ Jesus who meets my need. And then in that place and from that place where we have this true knowledge of him, where we have true grace and we have true knowledge, from that place, we are able to shine. It is in that place when we are less of a contributor to the shadow around us and the shadows of our lives, the shadows of our families, the shadows of our churches, the shadows of our workplaces, and the shadows of this dark world, where we contribute less to it. and we shine. We shine with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're true life. We're true salvation. Where true hope comes from. So the call for you this morning is simple. It's to want Christ and to proclaim Him. To desire Him, to seek to know Him more. So that you can announce Him to your families, to your co-workers, to all of your loved ones, to all of the lost. So our first step as we look at Jesus and see His walking and working is work and fall into His arms. Verse 42, when day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place. As we look through the scripture, we see this as a bit of a pattern of Jesus' life, that He would work and He would work and He would work until He was at the place of exhaustion and He would go hide in the woods, is the way that I will say it. He will go out to that place, into the wilderness. He would commune with God where it was no longer the case in his life, where he is pouring himself out and pouring himself out and pouring himself out. But he goes and he sits before the Lord. He sits before his heavenly Father and he is fueled and he is strengthened by him in those moments. None of you, none of us can constantly pour yourselves out. My mind goes to the life of a mother, particularly a mother with small children. Someone who is on call 24/7, who is pouring herself out all day long. And one of the real struggles that we had found in our family was when our children were small and they were in the pews and they couldn't listen yet. And they couldn't sit still. And they couldn't be quiet. One of the great pains that Leslie had expressed to me was, I have not been fed in years. As she would sit in the pew and the anxiety would be there that the children are going to act up. The children are going to be loud. The children are going to be a distraction. This is why my family learned to sit in the back, so you could quickly and quietly snatch up a small child and take them out of the service. There's a real need that we have. To be fueled, to be strengthened, to be nourished. Some of you may have gone without meals on accident because you didn't have a choice. Maybe you felt the weakness from there. Maybe some of you have done an extended fast and you have felt the weakness from that. There is a spiritual weakness that comes from not interacting with Jesus Christ. But we find that weakness in our lives as we work and as we labor. So why is there such a tension with it? And why is there this draining force in our lives when we're doing the spiritual work? Galatians 5:17 puts it this way. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Do you feel that tension? That there is a spiritual reality that God has spoken to, and He says, this is the way that you are to live. And isn't there that other piece that says, yeah, but? Or has God really said? And there's this desire, and there's this tension, and there's this difficulty that is taking place. I equate it to a wrestling match. You haven't practiced endurance until you have wrestled. When you are pitted against another person that weighs the same amount as you, and you are in this constant struggle to be put down while you are in a constant struggle to put them down. A wrestling match is 6 minutes long, and it is as exhausting as a half marathon. 6 minutes of wrestling, 6 minutes of tension. In our lives, in our spiritual lives, there is meant to be, there is designed to be a spiritual tension. We are meant to be battling. And if you are not battling, if you do not find yourself exhausted by Saturday from working for 6 days, you might just be coasting and drifting along. You may not be climbing. You may not be participating in this spiritual battle. There are times with a particularly hard sermon, when I walk down the steps, I wonder if I'm going to stumble on my way down the steps. Because there is a tension that is present in the Christian life. There is a spiritual exhaustion. Now the question will be, where does your spiritual exhaustion lead you? Does it lead you into sin? Or does it lead you into love and to obedience? And this is a part of our Sabbath rest. My children have talked about how difficult it was when they were younger, when it was the Sabbath. It was like, oh, now we've got to sit still. Now there's all of these things that we cannot do. And then when people get older, you hear them say, I am thankful for the Sabbath. I am thankful for a rest that has been and is given to me. For those of us who would struggle with the idea of taking a nap in the middle of the day throughout the week, there's something really beautiful and special when you come home on a Sabbath and without any guilt whatsoever, in the middle of the day, you can lay down. It is a beautiful and a wonderful thing when you have worked for 6 days to come into the place and to be given this rest. So that was our first step, work and fall into his arms. Our next step, number two, is make sure you want him. Verse 42 again. When day came, Jesus left and went to a secluded place, and the crowds were searching for him and came to him and tried to keep him from going away from them. This idea, it looks like they want him. It looks like they desire him. In our lives, as we even come together for church, it looks like we want Jesus. If we are struggling to keep his commands, it looks like we want Jesus. Well, in John 6, 26 and 27, as the crowds were following him, Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and you were filled." There was a people who wanted Jesus, or they liked the idea of Jesus, or they liked what Jesus would give to him. We can even have this in God's commands. I will keep God's commands so that it will go well with me. There's something very different about wanting him. We can go to our Bible and we can be in a diligent reading plan. And we can be happy that we did our diligent reading plan. And we can look back and see, but I never actually listened to Jesus while I was there. It could be like sitting in a pew. Now it's time, if it's a short one, maybe 28 minutes and we'll get through it. And we can walk away and maybe never heard him. The difficulty and the tension is in our lives that we want to at least look like we're doing good things. I like it if my kids come downstairs in the morning and they see me sitting there with my coffee and reading my Bible. I like that. I know it makes me look like a good dad. I know it makes me look like a good preacher. Am I there for that reason, or am I there to meet him? Are you here this morning because it's a good thing to go to church? Or are you here this morning to meet him? It's as if God says, I want you to want me. That is his desire, that we would seek him, and as we saw in Deuteronomy, with our whole heart and with our whole mind. We can tell that these people didn't really want him. It's the same crowd from Mark 14, 15. But Pilate said to them, "Why? Why do you turn him over to me?" is the idea. "What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." When he was feeding them, they wanted him. They wanted him around. What is it you want? Is it the comfort? Is it the peace? Is it the prosperity? Is that it? Or do you really want him? Well, Jesus explains his purpose and explains a bit of who he is as we move to verse 43. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose." And this is our third step. That is, recognize Christ's purpose. Why did he come? We look and we can see a couple of things, at least, that he accomplished when he came. We see that he came to save his people from their sins, as Matthew 1:21 says. But he says, I came to preach the kingdom of God. What is that? What is the kingdom of God? Have you seen it? Have you participated in it? Do you know the rules for the kingdom? I'm telling you, right here and right now, you are specifically in the kingdom of God. Right here, right now. These are the courts of the king's house. We are assembled together in his meeting room, not this building. It could be blown away, and that would be okay. We could assemble in we could assemble together in East Palestine Park. There would be the kingdom of God. We could assemble together in Ewing Park. There would be the kingdom of God. God meets with his people when they assemble together in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. He meets them in his specific presence. He speaks to them as we come together as the body of Christ, as we sing the psalms together. You are the body of Christ, the mouth of Christ, announcing the words of Christ. It is the kingdom of God. Now, what does a kingdom have to have? It's got to have a king, right? What kind of kingdom doesn't have a king? Well, Jesus comes and he is in this position. He is the king. He came for this purpose to announce the kingdom of God. He said, and he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God, for I was sent for this purpose. We're reminded in Matthew 1:23 about this king. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. The very king in our very presence meeting with us, and we are to want him. Luke 17:21, speaking of the kingdom, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The kingdom of God is within you. God is present by his Holy Spirit. Now we see a sad tension that takes place in John 1:10 and 11. It says, he was in the world. That is referring to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Speaking of Jesus as the Creator, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. That is, the nations didn't know him. And those who were his own, speaking of the Jews, did not receive him. Now you and I, we can keep falling back into the position of the Jews. That we have been given the message, we have been given the truth, we have been given the word of God, we see the kingdom of God, we act as if we participate in the kingdom of God, we act as if we actually want the king. But do we receive him? Do you want him? So our next step, number four, is honor Christ's coming. We look again at verse 43. But he said to them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. So this purpose was to announce the kingdom, that the kingdom will be being established. In John 5:28 through 29, do not marvel at this. For an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did good deeds to a resurrection of life. Those who committed evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment. We look and we see that there is a rule, that there is an authority, that there is a judgment that takes place. We are to recognize that in our relationship to Christ. We are to recognize that in the people around us. That God does indeed judge sin. And if your sin is not judged in Christ Jesus, that sin will be upon you, and the guilt and the judgment will be upon you. We look and we recognize that that's the reality for our neighbors, our closest neighbors. That is the reality for our loved ones. So there is to be an announcement. Now, what does it look like? So Christ has come, and we say we love Jesus. Christ has come, and it says, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And we say, yep, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. We say, be a part of His kingdom, and we say we are. On Matthew 6, 9 through 10, when Jesus says, pray then in this way, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, which is what Jesus said. I have to go and preach the kingdom of God. And what's the attachment to it? Your kingdom come, your will be done. For us in our hearts, for us in our minds, for us in our households, as we talk about the Word of God, as we walk down the street, as we sit down, as we rise up, as we teach them diligently to our children, bringing them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, as we have our family worship, singing and reading and praying together, as we love our neighbors as ourselves, announcing the kingdom of God, walking in the footsteps of Christ Jesus. In the midst of our church, we would look and see and we would examine ourselves. We would conform our thinking and our affection and our practices to the Word of God. His kingdom come. His will be done. Because it is His kingdom. Our next step, number 5, is call others to honor Christ. Verse 44, so he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. It's a beautiful thing, and I have found this helpful as we've started this Gospel of Luke, seeing how much Jesus went to church. I like that. I find that extremely helpful for those who would say that they love Jesus. Well, if you love him, follow his commands. If you love him, follow him. He has made his footsteps into a way. Guess what? Jesus went to church all the time. He was there. He was present. And we see that his work in the church was announcing the kingdom of God. And we are together in the church. And as you sing the Psalms, you announce the word of God. As we assemble together in the church, and you have brought me and you have cared for me, and as you have made me make my living by the gospel, as the scriptures say, I get to proclaim the kingdom of God. This is the work, this is the presence, and this is a specific act of the kingdom of God as we come together for this word announced. Psalm 22, 22, I will tell of your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. We do that as we sing the Psalms together. We look and we see all that God is accomplishing in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. As we look at the Great Commission, Jesus came up and said, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Go forth, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, the kingdom, and look, or lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you want him? Do you want him? There are times when I have an errand to run or a thing to do, and I call to my kids, hey, I've got to run and do this thing. You want to come? And I'm delighted when they say yes. God's doing this thing. God's doing this thing. God is bringing the kingdom. And he has said, and he does say, hey, you want to come? You want to come announce the kingdom? You want to bring it? Do you want to be with me? If we love him, if we're called according to his purpose, if we walk in his statutes, if we walk in his way, we get to be with Him. And His great work now, and the reason Christ came was to announce the kingdom. You and I, we get to do that. We get to announce Jesus Christ, the prophet, the priest, the king. We get to look and to watch and participate as He builds His kingdom. Want Him. Know that He's more beautiful than anything. More beautiful than anyone. More powerful than anything. More powerful than anyone. More loving than anything. More loving than anyone. And He will accomplish His good purpose. And everyone who loves Him and is called in accordance with His gospel. Pray with me. Our God, we thank You for the good that You have done, the good that You continue to do. We rejoice in Your good purposes for our lives and for the lives of our loved ones. God, do this great work in us. Remove our blindness. Remove the clouds that clog our heads and our minds and our eyes. Help us to see Your beauty and Your holiness and Your perfection and to be drawn towards Your holiness. That we will want to be with You. That we will want to walk with You. That we will want to announce with You that You will be most glorified as we love You and as we follow Your commands. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.